I'd see everyone back here with us this evening. If you will be turning your Bibles with me to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. I heard someone say one time, sometimes I get the feeling the whole world is against me. But deep down I know that's not true. Some of the smaller countries are neutral. Friends, sometimes we have some difficult days. Sometimes we have difficult weeks, other times difficult months, and even sometimes difficult years. We understand that difficulties are going to come along. And friends, we as Christians need to learn how to deal with them so that we don't get discouraged to the point that we give up on God, because He's not going to give up on us. And that's why I think Job is such a great example to us for several different reasons. For one of the things is his attitude throughout the difficulties that he experienced. And they started all with one day. So let's consider some difficult things. As we hear people talk around us, and some of these things may have even escaped our lips during these difficult economic times. We talk about gas prices being up and the stock market being down. Interest rates are up, consumer confidence is down, food prices are up, and the housing market is down. We talk about these things from time to time, and so it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to be feeling blue. It's easy to get depressed about some things. So what can you and I do to deal with these difficult times? Let's look at Job chapter 1. Let's read verses 20 through 22 and look at Job's outlook. Look at his attitude here. Now remember everything that has happened to Job in Job 1. He's lost his children. He has lost his wealth. Everything has been taken from him except for his health and his wife. That's it. That's all he's got left. And he says, beginning in verse 20, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground." What did he do? He worshipped. He fell down on the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. All these things have befallen unto him. What would many of us do in such a situation, in such a circumstance? Beat our chest, look to heaven, and say, "God, why me? Why has this happened to me? Why did you take these things from me?" But Job fell down to the ground and worshipped. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Friends, we have to understand sometimes that sometimes things just happen. Now, obviously, there was an engineer behind it with Job. But friends, sometimes life just gets in the way. As some have said, and I've heard it said, life happens, right? Sometimes we're going to get knocked back down, but we need to do like Job and get back up. So what do we do? What can we do to deal with difficult times? Number one, if we're going to deal with difficult times, we have got to learn to keep a positive attitude. Friends, how we look at things makes a great difference. Our attitudes will determine how we act and react. Someone has said, attitude determines altitude. Attitude determines altitude. Some are always negative about everything, aren't they? Always negative about everything. And others, on the other hand, think of possibilities. Let me share this quote with you. Two men looked out of prison, from prison bars. One saw mud, one saw stars. Different outlook, right? One is looking down, woe is me, and the other's looking up, thinking about the day that he might get out of there. The difference. Although it's not easy to keep a positive attitude in difficult times, it can be done. You think about Joseph. You think about everything that had happened to that young man, and yet he kept a positive attitude despite everything that happened to him. You read about the life of Joseph in Genesis 37 through 50. A great deal of what happened to that young man was through no fault of his own. Life happened. He was sold into slavery by his brethren. The slave traders took him and sold him to Potiphar. He was accused of rape. Thrown into prison. He's been enslaved now again. He translates a dream for a couple of guys. One makes it back into the Pharaoh's palace. And he doesn't remember what Joseph did to him until the Pharaoh has a dream that nobody else can interpret. And then he says, oh yeah, there's a guy in prison that can do that. All these things happened to Joseph, and yet, what did he continue to do? Think about God. And look what God was able to do through him. You know, if Joseph had not been in Egypt when he was there, what would have happened to Jacob and all of his seed? They would have starved to death. Because Egypt wouldn't have had the grain stores that it had to be able to help other nations out in that regard. See, God always had a plan. Joseph didn't necessarily realize what that plan was to begin with. But you remember what he told his brethren? You meant it to me for evil. God meant it for good. Friends, Joseph kept that positive attitude. And you look at Job. We talked about Job for a moment there in Job chapter 1. You consider all of his financial and family losses. Job 13 and verse 15, he says, though he slay me. In other words, Job says, God might kill me. But what's he going to do? What does Job say? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And then, of course, we read there in verse 21 of Job 1, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look at Job 42 and verse 12. You see a continuance of Job's attitude here and keeping that positive attitude, that positive outlook. In Job 42 and verse 12 we read, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He was blessed beyond measure. Friends, when we have difficult times come upon us, our outlook, our attitude can determine much about how we handle it. We must keep our priorities and perspectives in the right place. Now we talk about our economic times and such like, and so we understand that in our country especially, money is important for survival, right? We have to be able to buy groceries and such like. It's important for survival, friends. But we need to realize that it is not the most important thing in life. It's not the most important thing in life. If it is most important to you, what's going to happen when you begin to lose money instead of making money? That is why people do desperate things when faced with financial ruin. You ever read the history of the stock market crash in 1929, 1930? And how many people jumped from the roofs and from upper stories, ending their life because they'd lost everything that had been in their stock market portfolio? I can't even begin to fathom. Placing so much emphasis upon my bank account that I would kill myself over. But many people lost their lives during that time. Took their own lives because they couldn't see past it. Friends, remember what the scripture teaches us. Philippians 4 and verse 11, Paul writes, not that I speak in regard to want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You think about Paul and everything that man had suffered for the cause of Christ and preaching of the gospel. And he tells us that there were times, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he tells us there were times that he was hungry. He didn't have enough food to eat. There were times that he was severely dehydrated. There were times that he didn't have enough clothes to wear. There were times, friends, that he lived in fear of his life. And we know eventually that Paul's life was taken from him. And yet he continued to preach the gospel. What kind of outlook do you suppose he had on life? Well, he tells us there in Philippians 4:11, doesn't he? He had learned long ago that wherever he found himself, he was going to be content. I love Romans 8 and verse 28, don't you? Romans 8 and verse 28. I can't tell you over the course of the last probably 5 or 6 years how many times I've spoken with my father about Romans 8 and verse 28. My dad lost his job. He had some injuries and such. Didn't know what they were going to do financially. Didn't know where they were going to turn. And nearly every time we spoke on the phone, we talked about Romans 8 and verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. Because when difficult times come, I know that God's going to take care of me. I know that God's people are going to be looking out for me. Isn't that why Jesus says what He says in Matthew 6 and verse 36? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Those things being the physical things that we need to survive in this life. If we put God first and He is our priority, we don't have to worry about anything else. The Hebrews writer says in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When God is on our side, we don't have to worry about anything. Sometimes, friends, we miss opportunities because we become discouraged and stop looking for it. Friends, if we're all wrapped up in our own financial or other troubles, we won't see the positive and good things that are happening around us. We won't see the needs of others or opportunities to do good. The pessimist may be right in the end, but the optimist has a better time on the trip. Quote I heard once. When you think about life and everything that goes on, we're going to get knocked down sometimes, but we need to keep a positive attitude, a positive outlook on things. After all, we're Christians, right? Should we not be the happiest people upon earth, knowing that we are saved and that we have been washed of our sins by the blood of Christ? Why shouldn't we have a positive outlook? If we're going to deal with difficult days, number one, keep a positive attitude. Number two, keep doing what you can do. In other words, don't quit. Don't give up. Edward Everett Hale said, I am only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. The something I ought to do, I can do, and by the grace of God, I will. That's a wonderful attitude. Friends, we understand that we can't do everything. And there are some things, quite frankly, that I'm just not good at. That you might be. So friends, we need to understand that we are to do what we can do. You consider the example of the Macedonians in 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. There Paul tells the Corinthians concerning their giving and such that here the Macedonians were and they gave from their poverty. They didn't have much. As a matter of fact, Paul says they were giving to their own detriment. They gave more than they actually could afford. There were some of them that were going, and here's what I'm thinking anyway as I read that, there were some folks that were going to go hungry because they couldn't buy their own food because they were going to send it down to Jerusalem to support the Christians there. You think about that. When's the last time we went hungry so that someone else could eat? They were doing what they could do. I read a story one time about an African village. A missionary had gone in there and he had pretty much converted the entire village to the gospel. And they had been meeting outside for a while, but it was getting up on monsoon season, and so they decided they were going to build themselves a church building. And so the villagers got together and they drew a big circle in the middle of the village and everything that they could afford to give, they put in the circle and they were going to sell it so that they could afford to build this church building. And there was a man in the village who didn't have anything to give. And he racked his brain and he thought and he thought and thought, what can I put in the center so that I can help toward building this building? He couldn't think of anything. And so he placed himself in the circle. Meaning that he would use himself in the building of that building for the good of the church located in that village. Friends, you consider the Macedonians and others. They were not just, the Macedonians weren't, they were not just in difficult economic times. They were in poverty. Yet they still kept their faith in God and looked for opportunities to help others. You look at the example of building the wall around Jerusalem. We're going to be studying Nehemiah when we get to our summer series this summer and for a little while after that. But them building that wall around Jerusalem, you have Sanballat and Tobiah trying so many different things to discourage Nehemiah and the people. Nehemiah 4 and verse 3, we read, whatever they build, if even a fox goes up in it, we will break down their stone wall. If we can find one single weakness, in other words, we'll tear it down. They conspired with others to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion, Nehemiah 4, 7 through 8. They sent a message to Nehemiah to meet with them in the plain of Ono. And Nehemiah said, oh no, I'm not coming. They sent a spy to try to get Nehemiah to go into the temple for safety. They were trying to lay in wait to kill this man. They wanted them out of the picture. The people though, Nehemiah 4 and verse 6, the people had a mind to work. And so they put themselves to it. Nehemiah 4 and verse 17, we see there that the people kept focused. They did their jobs despite difficult opposition. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens, they loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other they held a weapon. Can you imagine? I've got maybe a bow or a staff in one hand and a hammer in the other. And the guy that's helping me, he's holding a nail in this hand while he's holding a bow or staff in this hand, or sword, whatever the case may be. Really had to trust one another, didn't you? But they were of a mind to work. They rolled up their sleeves and they got at it. And that led, friends, to the building, rebuilding of the walls in how many days? 52 days. Now you think about an entire city. They rebuilt the wall in 52 days. That's something that may be hard for you and I to understand, considering we don't live in walled cities here. Okay? But considering that it takes most construction companies anywhere from 2 to 4 months to erect a house, anywhere from 60 to 120 days to put a house up, and they built an entire wall around a whole city in 52 days, those people got to work. They got to work, friends, and they rolled up their sleeves and they got to it. Keeping busy, in other words, keeping busy, friends, will help us fight discouragement. A 10-step cure for the blues is keeping busy, really. Here's your 10-step cure for the blues, right? Go out and do a good deed for someone and then repeat that 9 times. 10-step cure for the blues. Brother Mosier told us a story one time about a woman where, I forget where he was preaching at the time, and she had been absent for a couple of weeks or something. She had been sick. Nobody really knew about it. She didn't let anybody know about it, that she had been sick. And she complained to Brother Mosier, Neil, you didn't come visit me. Rather than apologize, Brother Mosier said, when's the last time you visited someone? Why don't you pick up the phone? Call somebody. Or, how about this? Bake some cookies and take it to somebody that needs a friend. Of course, she left that morning in a huff. Did you know the next Sunday she walked up to Brother Mosier and shook his hand from the story that he told? Shook his hand and told him thank you because she felt much better after having helped someone else. Friends, we need to be looking out, looking for those that we can help, and that's going to help us overcome difficult days. Remember the words of Paul, Romans 8 and verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Friends, whatever we suffer today, whatever we suffer in our lives, pales in comparison to what we'll be able to experience in heaven. We suffer but for a short time. Heaven is for eternity. And friends, we need to believe that all of our efforts will be worthwhile. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I find it interesting that here Paul was talking to the Corinthian brethren, who in a very short period of time was going to have a very difficult persecution come upon them. And Paul simply says, you be steadfast, you remain standing sure. Don't move away from the Word of God. And you continue to abound in the work of the Lord. He told them to stay busy when difficult days came upon. Friends, we should do the same. Number three, we should keep our faith in God. We're going to withstand difficult days. We have got to keep our faith in God. Friends, there are reports running rampant. One day, consumer confidence is running high. Next, it's running low. And many are discouraged with that. Many are discouraged, especially when they hear that consumer confidence is low. Too many are putting their trust in the wrong things. The psalmist writes, "But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me." Psalm 31, 14 and 15. Why not, friends, during difficult times, take those things to God in prayer? And ask Him to deliver us from difficult times. In this particular chapter, Psalm 31, the psalmist is saying that he trusted God to deliver him. And he trusted Him to do it at the right time. Friends, trust then requires us to say, "My times are in your hands." My times are in your hands. We would like for things to get better now, not later, right? But friends, we must trust God, who knows what is best for us and for others. Things may not get better now, but friends, they will get better. I might even go so far as to say they might never get better in this life, but as long as we remain faithful to God, they will be better in the next. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. The psalmist again writes in Psalm 46 and verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Friends, understand that during difficult times, God is aware of our difficulties. Not even a single sparrow can fall to the ground without God knowing about it. And that's a sparrow, friends, which has no soul. And so you think about how much more aware God is of us when we're suffering. Whatever it is that we're struggling through, whether it's the loss of a loved one or whatever the case may be, God is aware of our difficulties. In John chapter 6, verses 60 through 69, we read about some of the followers of Jesus turning and leaving Him because of some of His hard sayings. And so Jesus then turned and said to the 12 in John 6 and verse 67, "Will you also go away? Will you also leave me?" I love what Peter says here. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Now, although Peter would have his difficulties, Peter hit the nail on the head right there. He understood something in Christ Jesus even at that time. And he had faith in Jesus even at that time. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Friends, that faith That faith right there is what allowed Peter to recover after his failures and to speak up for Jesus in hostile environments and to write encouraging words for us to remain strong. In the midst of our difficulties, friends, as Peter had to have done, as Paul had to have done, and sometimes, we sometimes have to have a sort of spiritual amnesia. Forget what we've done in the past. Peter, he messed up, right? He had to put that behind him. God had forgiven him. Jesus had forgiven him. He had to forgive himself and move on. In another sense, we have spiritual amnesia, friends, when we forget God's promises and that He said He would be with us. Can't have that. We need to remember those things and continue to have our faith in God. Sometimes we forget all that God has done for us and the difficulties He has helped us through. Sometimes when I'm thinking about that, I think of the prodigal son. I cannot imagine what this young man had done. He asked for his inheritance early, like he had taken everything his father had done for him for granted. So I don't need you anymore. I'm going to go my own way. And here he goes out here, and it took him being in a pig pen, mucking through the slop, looking for something to eat, for him to come to himself. You ever been that low? I've known some folks that have been. That hit the bare rock bottom before they decided to seek God's help. Friends, as Christians, if we're going to make it through difficult times, and we don't want to hit rock bottom, we need to remember the promises of God and everything that He has done for us. We must remember that when we belong to and when we serve God, no situation is hopeless. God's children can count on His providential care and His never-ending love. We sing the song sometimes, "I know who holds tomorrow." Friends, we don't know what's on tomorrow, do we? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We've got plans, I'm sure. If the Lord wills, we plan on getting up. Most of us plan on going to work. Doing something during the day. But friends, we're not guaranteed that time. We just don't know. But while I may not know what tomorrow holds, I know who holds tomorrow. And regardless of what may happen, if I breathe my last breath tonight, that's okay. Because I'm ready to go home. Are you? Friends, in difficult days, we strive to keep our faith. Looking unto God for everything that He provides. Let's put away our Bibles. Take out our songbooks. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Habakkuk writes in Habakkuk 3:17-18, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls," Habakkuk says, "yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Friends, do we have that kind of attitude? That positive outlook, regardless of the fig tree didn't blossom, Habakkuk says. There's no fruit on the vines. The olive tree did not bear. The fields had no food. My flock is cut off from the fold, and I've got no meat in the stalls. But what does he say? I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Isaiah says in Isaiah 49:14-15, "But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child?" Is the Lord's response. "And not have compassion on the son of her womb. Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you." Friends, God will not forget you. You may be at the lowest point of your life right now. Rest assured that God sees you. And He wants to help you climb out of that hole, wherever it may be. Even when times get tough, friends, remember that God is on your side and that is worth everything. You remember Joshua and Caleb? Two men against about 2 million. And they stood firm. And God was with them. When they finally entered Canaan, Caleb, now an old man, in his 80s, he looks at Joshua and says, "Give me this mountain." And friends, that mountain had giants living on it. And he prevailed. How? Couldn't have been easy, but he had God on his side. Friends, we may face giants from time to time. We may face mountains from time to time, and we have no idea how we're going to overcome. It's okay. We don't have the answers, but God does. God can help us through. He can see us through difficult times. So friend, if you're here this evening, it may be that you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and you find yourself in a difficult position right now. Number one, because your sins have not been remitted. But number two, it may be that life has beat you down. Why don't you let God and Christ help you with that? Give God that burden, friends. How do you do that? You obey the gospel. You give everything over to Him. You turn your back on the world. You turn your back on sin. And you give your life to Jesus Christ. By repenting of your sin, confessing Him before those here tonight and before all the world as you leave this place tonight. And you put Him on in baptism. You come in contact with His blood. And friends, His blood will wash you as white as snow. Would you have your sins washed away tonight? Friend, are you here this evening having obeyed the gospel? But yet, you left the church, gone back into the world. Friends, have you seen the light of Jesus Christ? Would you come home? Would you return to that light? And then continue to walk in the light as He is in the light? So that one day, friends, we may all hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Friend, if you have a need to obey the gospel, to repent of sin, and friend, if you just need the prayers of the church, please come.